It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Mary Thomas Hart, National Cattlemen's Beef Association. But first, Dr. Gary Adams is President and CEO, National Cotton Council.
When we talk about the challenges we face this year, we have to start with the extreme drought that we saw in much of the Southwest, particularly hitting Texas, Oklahoma, and the Kansas crops really hard. So we're going to see reduced production there. You mentioned harvest. Harvest is moving along. USDA says that we're a little over halfway through harvest right now, which is a little bit ahead of pace. But again, we've seen a fairly dry fall in a lot of parts of the cotton belt. So that's allowed people to get in and get the cotton gathered. So we are seeing harvest move along. I think the concern right now is what we see in terms of watching the markets over these last, particularly the last 4 or 5 weeks.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by Mary Thomas Hart. Mary Thomas is Chief Counsel with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, NCBA, in Washington, D.C. Mary Thomas, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
All right. I've heard that you've been kind of running around the globe here, maybe sightseeing a little, but probably a little more work. Is Ireland someplace you ended up?
It's been a busy few weeks. Definitely a bit of personal travel, but for the last couple of weeks, I've been working on the road, spent some time in Europe having some really productive meetings, and attended a conference on the societal role of meat in Dublin.
Yeah, so as I looked into this, I don't even know the right questions to ask, but societal role of meat conference in Ireland. Was sustainability part of that discussion?
It absolutely was. So, you know, it was an honor to be invited to this event. It was an invitation-only conference that brought together academics from around the globe who focus in some way on meat-related research and academia. So we had presentations on the value of meat consumption for a healthy diet, the value of livestock production for a healthy environment, and the value of livestock production to rural economies, both in developed and developing nations. So a very busy couple of days, but certainly a lot of really valuable information.
When we, again, trying to understand this better, is part of the goal here trying to help tell that story to consumers, not just in the U.S., but around the globe?
You're exactly right. So, you know, I think when we talk about climate change and livestock's contribution to climate change, or, you know, correcting that record for the livestock industry, it's a global problem that's going to have a global solution, right? And especially when we talk about environmental sustainability, the U.S. really does lead the world in environmentally sustainable beef production. We have the lowest greenhouse gas emissions per pound of beef of any beef-producing nation in the world. So when we bring together academic leaders, thought leaders from around the world to talk about, you know, how to improve our industry, make it more efficient, but also improve consumer perception of our industry, U.S. representation is key. And so it was really exciting, especially during the environmental portion of this conference, to see, I think, over half of the presenters, over half of the experts were American researchers, were, you know, coming from land-grant universities in the United States. It really shows the leadership role that we're taking in this conversation globally.
When, again, as I'm just trying to make sure we comprehend what's happening here, when we talk about the European Union, that's been where some of the maybe biggest opposition has come. When we're talking about opening up markets for U.S. beef, is this a perfect opportunity not just to deal with and work on the story with consumers, but to work with some of your peers across the ocean?
Yeah, I think you make a really good point, Tony, that, you know, in the past when we, you know, discuss trade with other partner nations, the technology that we implement in the United States can often be seen as a hurdle or a barrier to, you know, a successful trade deal or to, you know, maximizing the value of a trade deal. But I think we've been able to show through, you know, the last 40 years of our industry's improvement that those technologies specifically allow us to significantly improve our environmental footprint by making the animal more efficient, whether it's, you know, grazing technology, genetics, or the technology that we use in the feed yard. The combination of those three things is what allows us to have the most sustainable beef supply chain in the world. So when we come to regions or to countries that have made public statements or have set public goals related to, you know, making their agricultural industry more environmentally sustainable, we're able to walk into those meetings with the answers to their questions, right? With the solutions to their problems. And it's all of the technology that we've implemented in our supply chain that helps us to maximize our efficiency. So again, you know, we really are our global leader. And I think we have established a blueprint for the rest of the world to how to, for how to build a beef supply chain, a livestock supply chain that's both economically and environmentally sustainable.
Talk about leadership. Great opportunity to switch gears and instead of talking about an ocean, talk about a navigable water here in the U.S. You and I oftentimes talk about waters of the U.S. or WOTUS. What's the latest on that?
So it's been a busy month in the world of WOTUS. On October 3rd, the Supreme Court, in their first oral argument of the season, heard the Sackett versus U.S. case, which considers for the fourth time what is considered waters of the U.S. So that was a really exciting oral argument. We got to see 6 of the 9 justices consider WOTUS for the first time. So it will certainly be interesting to see where the Supreme Court takes that case. And I expect that we'll get an opinion in that case probably next spring, so early 2023. Simultaneously, the EPA is still considering the Biden administration's definition of WOTUS, as well as a repeal of the Trump WOTUS definition. So that rule currently sits at the White House, and we expect it to be finalized before the end of the year.
All right. So again, a lot happening here on the and I can't believe it's taken me this long to see WOTUS and SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States. But again, all those arguments now just, again, waiting for something from the Supreme Court.
Yep. And I think, you know, right now we're certainly in a waiting period. I would call it the calm before the storm, because I think we'll probably get to a point at the beginning of next year where we have one, you know, definition of WOTUS from this administration, from the EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers, and a potentially contradictory opinion from the Supreme Court. And those two policies kind of competing against each other. And we'll have to take all of that to court again, you know, and ask, you know, how the Biden administration's WOTUS definition comports with whatever opinion we get from the Sackett case. So lots to come in the next year on the WOTUS front. It's been a pretty quiet year on this front, actually, but we're going to get into a pretty busy time, and we'll be talking about all things WOTUS, I think, at least for the next few months.
So one more question here, and when we've talked about WOTUS in the past, again, we've highlighted the fact that the courts have had to handle the definition here because the definition was not well defined by Congress, which means it leaves it up to the executive branch to come up with something, and it seems to move with whoever is in office without trying to determine who will hold the House and the Senate moving forward. Is Congress at all going to get into the fray on this?
I think that, you know, in the past, there have been efforts to kind of crack open the Clean Water Act and attempt to craft a legislative definition of WOTUS. But we have, you know, we've tried that enough times, and I think it's proven fairly difficult time and time again. And at this point, it seems wise to kind of leave it up to the Supreme Court. I think, you know, like I said, this is the first time that 6 of those 9 justices are considering the definition of WOTUS. So I think, you know, we could get something drastically different from anything we've seen out of this court before. I think before we go back to Capitol Hill, we wait and see what comes out of the Supreme Court. Obviously, legislative solutions are always an option. They are certainly quite complex and could open us up to additional risks, but that's always something that we keep on, I guess, the list of possibilities. But I don't know. I think I'm putting quite a bit of faith in the Supreme Court this go around, and I'm pretty optimistic that we'll get a favorable opinion in the Sackett case.
Okay, if we want to follow along with anything that you and I have been talking about, or just learn more about National Cattlemen's Beef Association, is that available online?
Of course it is. You can go to policy.ncba.org to keep up with these issues and all of the issues that NCBA is working on in Washington, D.C.
Mary Thomas, thanks for your time. Come back and see us soon, will you?
Thanks for having me, Tony.
Mary Thomas Hart is chief counsel with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, NCBA, in Washington, D.C., and joins us on today's Agribusiness Report.
There's a tradition down here in the South, a tradition of hard work, a tradition of straight talk. For more than 100 years, Delta Pine Cotton has been a proud part of that tradition. With proven yield potential and genetics you won't find anywhere else, Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with Strong Cotton from Delta Pine Brand. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The best thing you can put on your crop is your shadow. Your need to be in the field won't change, and the Cotton Research and Promotion Program was put into place to make sure you get the most from every minute you're out there. That's why the Cotton Board and Cotton Incorporated work alongside growers to spur innovation, fund research, and foster sustainability so generations of farming families can walk the same turn rows for years to come. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Jerome Powell is chairman of the Federal Reserve, speaking on Wednesday as the Fed raising interest rates 75 basis points. He talks about inflation.
Inflation remains well above our longer run goal of 2%. Over the 12 months ending in September, total PCE prices rose 6.2%. Excluding the volatile food and energy categories, core PCE prices rose 5.1%. And the recent inflation data again have come in higher than expected. Price pressures remain evident across a broad range of goods and services. Russia's war against Ukraine has boosted prices for energy and food and has created additional upward pressure on inflation. Despite elevated inflation, longer-term inflation expectations appear to remain well anchored, as reflected in a broad range of surveys of households, businesses, and forecasters, as well as measures from financial markets. But that is not grounds for complacency. The longer the current bout of high inflation continues, the greater the chance that expectations of higher inflation will become entrenched.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Over 35 years ago, Heston introduced the first large square baler, and that baler has led the industry ever since. Now Heston leads the way again with their new 2200 series at Livingston Machinery. They took their best-in-class 2100 series and made it even better, delivering more capacity, more consistent bale shape, and more bale density in virtually any crop conditions. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turn roads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Mary Thomas Hart,
with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
There's a tradition down here in the South, a tradition of hard work, a tradition of straight talk. For more than 100 years, Delta Pine Cotton has been a proud part of that tradition. With proven yield potential and genetics you won't find anywhere else, Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with Strong Cotton from Delta Pine Brands. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Ian Jeffries is president and CEO of the Association of American Railroads.
I'm hopeful and we're committed. All stakeholders are focused on ensuring that we get this across the finish line. A work stoppage is not in anyone's interest. It's not in our employees' interests. It's not in the railroad's interests. It's not in our customers' interests. It's not in the administration's interests. So all stakeholders are focused on the ultimate goal of making sure that we come to fruition on a positive outcome for all 12 of our unions.
Ready for a resolution.
Well, I'm confident that we're going to get these across the finish line because, again, at the end of the day, the most important thing is for our employees to get the wage increases that they deserve. These are significant wage increases. These are good jobs that are compensated in the top 10% of any sector across the economy, and they should be rewarded as such. So that's our focus, making sure our employees get this historic wage increase, maintaining first-in-class health care, and ensuring that we can keep serving our customers and communities across the country.